Morning, let us begin with a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for this morning, for Thy goodness to us. We pray for teachable hearts, that we may learn great precepts and Thy word, and that we will apply it to our life, so that our behavior, our conduct, speech and thought may conform unto Thee, to Thy delight. We pray for this morning's lesson on rebellion and the striking of the rock, that we will learn to be always peaceable and follow after Thy commandment. We pray for many who are sick. Thou will have mercy upon them and heal them. We pray, Lord, that Thou will transform our lives by Thy word, and Thou will bless us. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. This morning, we are on to Lesson 22, Rebellion and Striking the Rock. Before we go into the proper lesson today, I'd like to continue with where I left off last week. So you recall the last part I was talking about was how do we know God's will for us in a particular task? Yeah. So these are some of the pointers that will help us in determining God's will. Of course, we all want to do God's will, because if we are doing God's will, following His direction, He will bless us in the task that we do. And naturally, if we do not follow His direction, we go the opposite way, we expect to face adverse consequences doing things which is not according to God's will. So, first, reading the Bible is very important. Of course, when you decide whether to do A or B, the Bible is not going to tell you, you must not do A, but you must do B. There's no such verse in the Bible. Okay? But when you read the Bible, you will get the drift of the general principle. To obey God's commandments, to do right, to turn away from evil, to seek peace. So your task that you are going to do will be in that direction. To turn away from evil, to do right, and to seek peace, and to obey all of God's commandments. Prayer. Seek God's will in a specific matter. Like I just gave an example. Shall I do A or shall I do B? So in your prayer with God, ask God, what is His will? Whether you should do A or B. Very specific. Yeah. Then the Holy Spirit, you listen to our conscience guided by the Spirit. Of course, when you look at these two options, A and B, what is the guidance of the Holy Spirit through your conscience? Is A the right one, which God wants you to do, or B the right one? Yeah? And there will be a certain beckoning in your conscience. Of course, if A is the one that is doesn't give you peace and requires you to do certain things which are dishonest or slip short, not diligent, then more likely than not, it's not going to be A. Because God's word says you have to be diligent, you have to be honest. And then godly counsel, consult pastor, mature Christians. This is also another option that you may want to take. Consult pastor and your friends who are mature Christians. What are their views? And finally, events and circumstances guided by push and pull factors. For example, if you are feeling very ill, naturally the event and circumstances determine that you have to go and see a consult a doctor if you are ill. It cannot be, no, I'm ill, I'll just wait for God to heal me. I'm not going to see a doctor. Right? So the events and circumstances also play a part. Yeah. Okay, coming back to the ten spies and the Israelites. Okay, the disobedience of the 10 spies and Israelites. So if you recall last lesson, the 10 spies were saying, oh, these Canaanites are stronger than we are. And they spread a bad rumor on the land that they spied on. Given the circumstances that they know it is God's will for them to enter Canaan, they are telling everybody, don't go there, because those giants, those huge Canaanites is going to defeat us and kill us. So don't go there. So they are deliberately going against God's will, right? So God's punishment for them were that the 10 spies were struck down by a plague and died. So how do we overcome disobedience and disbelief for ourselves? Trust God's will, not our own will, reasoning and wisdom. If God's will is for us to do a certain thing, then we have to trust God's will. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Our own understanding is that, no, let's not do this. It's so difficult and takes up so much of my time. Let's do a shortcut. But the shortcut is not diligent and it's not the proper way of doing it. So trust not unto thine own, lean not unto thine own understanding to take the shortcut. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then God, you acknowledge God, God will direct your path. Right? And then the 10 spies, or rather the Israelite community, after hearing the 10 spies about the bad report from Canaan, they started to choose a leader to bring them back to Egypt. So they don't want Moses, Aaron. They want a new leader to bring them back to Egypt. So again, this is against God's will, clearly, yeah? And they all know it. Yeah? And the Israelites wanted to kill Caleb and Joshua. Surely this is against God's will too. Killing is against God's will. Unjust killing here. Yeah? Caleb and Joshua is following God's will to go to Canaan. And that's telling everyone, God will help us to defeat the giants there. And the Israelites refused to believe him. So they were not trusting in God and not believing that God will protect them. After all that has happened in their lives that they have experienced, how God rescued them from Egypt, crossing across the Red Sea, dividing the sea for them to cross across the land, and then when the Egyptian forces came pursuing after them, God destroyed the Egyptian force by drowning them. All this, the Israelites saw with their own eyes how God protected them. And what more, every day, a pillar of cloud leading them in their route. No GPS, no map, just following the pillar of cloud. And that was God for them. And yet now, they refuse to go into the promised land because there are giants there. Yeah? So when the Israelites realized God's anger and punishment with them, because God struck the 10 spies and they were struck with a plague, they died, they were very fearful and they changed their minds to claim God's promise of Canaan by attacking the Amalekites in the north. Okay, let me read perhaps this part here. Numbers 14:41. But Moses said, "Why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not succeed." They wanted to attack the Amalekites with their change of mind now. God has already told them they did not follow my requirement. I will not be with them anymore. And then, next thing, the Israelites wanted to attack the Amalekites. And Moses said to them, "Why are you disobeying God's command? This will not succeed." "Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies." So Moses told them, specifically, "Do not attack the Amalekites, because God is not with you, and you will be struck by your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you." There you go. Very clearly, if Israelites go and attack the Amalekites, they will die. They will fall by the sword. They will be cut down. Because you, the Israelites, have turned away from the Lord. And the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Homer. So they went up, even after being told that God was not with them. The Amalekites came and struck them and defeated them and chased them all the way down to Homer. So when God is not with us due to our sin, we will suffer adverse consequences. Just as the Israelites, they sin, and God says, "I'm not going to be with you anymore." And yet they went up to attack the Amalekites without God's support. And so they face terrible consequences of being defeated and being killed. Many of them were killed by the Amalekites. So we have to be guided by God each step of the way. Right, so now we come to today's lesson, which is God punished the Israelites to wander 40 years in the wilderness. The area of wandering is the red root in the map. So let me show you the red root. There you go. So you look at right in the middle, number 32, Kadesh Barnea. Can you see number 32? Yeah, that's the place where they sent the 12 spies up, and they camped there for a while. And God says, "No, because of your disbelief in me, in going up to Canaan, I'm not going to allow you to go up to Canaan. You will wander 40 years in the wilderness." So from Kadesh Barnea, they follow this red route. From 32, they move to number 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, just follow the red route, yeah? They went all the way down south. Number 28, number 29, number 30, number 31, and they went up north again, back to 32. Back to square one, where they started. 40 years, waste of time. They did nothing constructive because of their sin, yeah? They could have just obeyed God in the first instant and straight away go up to Canaan when they were first in Kadesh Barnea. God said, Moses told them, "God has given you the promised land right at the doorstep of Kadesh Barnea. Go and possess it now." They say, "No, let us send in the 12 spies first." And then they decided to go. They wanted to go back to Egypt because of fear. And then God sent them on this 40 years wandering from Kadesh Barnea to the west, back to the north, to the south, back up to the north, back to Kadesh Barnea at the end of 40 years. Yeah? And that generation of Israelites who grumbled and rebelled against Moses, they wanted to go back to Egypt, they all died in the wilderness because God told them they will not be permitted to Canaan because of their disbelief. Because of their disbelief. So these are the places, started at Kadesh Barnea, and all these so many towns and villages, finally ending back in Kadesh Barnea, end point of the 40 years wandering in Numbers 21. Number 20, verse 1. Right? So then we go on to chapter 15 of Numbers, for which I will not go into detail. Just look at the brief outline. It's about supplementary offerings, offerings from unintentional sins, Sabbath breaker put to death. Very serious. If you break a Sabbath, this man was put to death. Tassels on garments. So these are very rule-based requirement of God for the Israelite people. Okay, then we come to chapter 16. Rebellion in the wilderness. Yeah. One day while wandering in the wilderness, Korah conspired with Datan and Abiram to incite a rebellion against Moses. 250 popular leaders were involved. So these three persons, Korah, Datan, Abiram, they round up 200 leaders in the Israelite community to rebel against Moses. The rebels were dissatisfied of Moses and Aaron for setting themselves as leaders above all of them. And Moses said, "You, Korah, and all those with you, take your censers tomorrow and light them and put incense upon them before the Lord, and we will find out whom the Lord has chosen." So they went to Moses, and Moses said, and they said, "We don't want to take orders from you. We are also leaders, the three of them and the 250 of them. They are also leaders. Why should we take orders from you?" So Moses was very angry and said, "Okay, you take your censers, and we go before the tabernacle and let God decide who will lead, you or I." Yeah? What is a censer? So this is an example of a censer where they put incense in there and burn it for fragrance. Yeah? So they are supposed to bring that before the tabernacle, before God, for God to decide which party will be the leader. And Moses said, "By this you shall know that God has sent me to do all these things that I have done." Yeah? "If the Lord does a miracle and the ground opens up and swallows them and everything that belongs to them, then you will know that these men have despised the Lord." Yeah? So it's like a test, right? We come before the Lord. If the ground on which the rebels are standing suddenly open up and they're all swallowed up in an earthquake, in an opening in the land, then you will know that God is against them. Yeah? Moses had hardly finished speaking these words when the ground suddenly split open beneath them and a great fissure swallowed them up, along with their tents and families and the friends who were standing with them and everything they owned. So we look at this picture. It's illustrating what happened. Yeah. All the rebels, 250 of them and plus the three men, were swallowed up when the land opened up and they fell in. The very next moment, the very next morning, all the people began muttering again against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed the Lord's people." Very unusual turn of event. You will expect the people to say, "Oh dear, we have sinned. Please forgive us for our rebel against Moses. We will follow after Moses. Forgive us and we repent." No. The people says, "You, Moses, have killed the Lord's people." They were not remorseful. Stubborn. Unrepentant. Soon a great sullen mob formed. Suddenly, as they looked toward the tabernacle, the cloud appeared and the awesome glory of the Lord was seen. Moses said to Aaron, "Quick, take a censer and place fire in it from the altar. Lay incense on it and carry it quickly among the people and make atonement for them. For God's anger has gone out among them. The plague has already begun." God was furious. They refused to learn. They refused to learn. They are stubborn. And God struck them with a plague. And Moses had to use a censer to pray and to ask for forgiveness for the people. Spiritual lessons on the rebellion. Look at the flowchart. Rebellion against Moses by Miriam and Aaron, Numbers 12. We went through this a few weeks ago, not too long ago. You remember Miriam and Aaron rebelled against Moses, and God struck Miriam with leprosy. Right? And not too long after that, Korah and the followers rebelled against Moses. They have not learned their lessons from the earlier episode. They were stubborn and they rebelled again, and God punished them. Even after God had punished Korah and the 250 leaders, the people grumbled against Moses for killing the Lord's people. God destroyed the grumblers. 14,700 Israelites died because of the plague. Yeah? Important lesson for us here: the rebels failed to learn from the past sin of Miriam and Aaron. It was utter foolishness on the part of the rebels. What we should do: do not challenge the authority of our spiritual leaders. We're talking about now in church. Naturally, we could give feedback to our pastors and church leaders in a civil manner. But do not usurp their authority. They have been ordained as servants of God. Sometimes we do not challenge them openly, but we judge and criticize them unjustly in our hearts. We have a judgmental spirit, and this is also sinful. If we are long in the church, you listen to the pastor and say, "Oh, the same message over and over again. I've heard it umpteen times in the past." Sometimes we have this kind of spirit. Yeah. And we have this grudging spirit in us. We are judgmental. And we also say, "Oh, this pastor is not eloquent, can't speak well." And you start comparing. And this is not good. So we have to guard against this judgmental spirit. I think we can always look at it as God's message to us. What should we do to react properly in such a circumstance. It's a test for ourselves too. Something that we listen and we can't quite accept what was said, what is the right way to approach the situation? The way the rebels did it, we don't want to listen to you anymore, Moses. Just move aside. Let me take over. That's what the rebels did. For us, God says, do the right thing. Seek peace, not conflict. So how do you do the right thing? Speak peaceably and politely to your pastor. And ask pastor, perhaps you would like to listen to a certain topic. What is his views on a certain topic? Rather than negatively and say, you can't speak well, move aside. So there are many ways of doing it, but God's way is the way of peace, harmony, and love. Right? So guard against falling into sin of others or repeating our own sins. Don't be like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They knew what happened to Miriam, and yet they continue to rebel. So, for ourselves, don't be overcritical. Don't seek self-glory. Telling lies is something quite common among a number of people. Gossiping, slandering others, being boastful, etc., etc. So it's basically turning away from evil and doing good. In the midst of a trial or trouble, consider whether there has been any sin or disobedience in our lives. If there is, seek forgiveness and repent. But this requires a lot of honesty and frankness in our heart. The natural way is we rationalize and say, oh, this is nothing. I mean, everybody is doing it. It's not really a sin, right? Everybody is doing it. It's common. Yeah. But a sin is a sin, whether everybody is doing it or not. Yeah. Of course, sometimes there may not be any explicit sin that causes our sufferings. If so, it may be the Lord's way of growing our faith in directing us in our lives. For example, case of Joseph. He went through a lot of hardship. Remember, he was thrown into the pit, left to die by his brothers, and then sold as a slave to the slave traders, brought all the way to Egypt, sold to Captain Potiphar, became a slave in Captain Potiphar's household, and then subsequently he was framed by Mrs. Potiphar and then thrown into jail. So all this suffering Joseph went through, did he sin? Was it mentioned in the Bible? Because he sinned and therefore he had to go through all this suffering? No. It was God's will for him. So in that case, there was no sin, but he suffered tremendously. I don't think we go through his kind of suffering. So in Joseph's case, it's the Lord's way of growing Joseph's faith and directing his life. Because ultimately, he's going to meet the baker and the cupbearer in jail. So that is where God will send him. Joseph must be in jail to meet the baker and the cupbearer to interpret their dreams, part of God's divine will. But for some of us, we have to guard against sin, and trouble in lives come because of certain certain conduct, certain speech that God is trying to direct us away from these conduct and speech. So then we go on to number 17, 18 and 19, for which I will not be going into the chapters. Yeah, 17 is about the budding of Aaron's staff. Chapter 18 is the duties of priests and Levites, offerings for priests and Levites. Chapter 19, the water of cleansing. And then we come to chapter 20, the water at Meribah. The rebellion of Korah, Datan, and Abiram happened during the 40 years wandering. So after 40 years, they came back to Kadesh Barnea. There was not enough water to drink at Kadesh. The people quarreled against Moses and Aaron. A great mob formed, and they held a protest meeting. So no water, no water to drink. God told Moses to speak to the rock, and water would pour out. Moses did not follow God's instructions properly. The Lord said to Moses, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." Right? So, perhaps let me read to you to have a clearer picture from God's word. Numbers 20, verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. So they came back to Kadesh Barnea. And Miriam died there and was buried there. After the 40 years wandering, Miriam and the whole lot of the Israelites came to Kadesh Barnea. Miriam passed away in Kadesh Barnea. There was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord." Very sarcastic and aggressive way of putting it to Moses. No water. If only I had died with my brothers, then I don't have to suffer. No water. Yeah? This is negative example we should not do. "And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Why did you bring us into this wilderness that we and our cattles will all die? Why did you bring us here? Wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed. It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. Why do you bring us out of Egypt? This is a terrible, terrible place. There is no pomegranates, no figs, no vines, like what we had in Egypt." Blaming Moses. Moses, it's your fault to bring us out here. We should have stayed in Egypt where we have good food. Remember, this is 40 years after they came out of Egypt. The first generation of the Israelites have all died. This is the second generation. And they say the same thing. How is that so? They hear from their parents that in Egypt they had good food, fish, melon, pomegranates, figs. Out here, we only have manna. And they repeat what their parents told them. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. So of course Moses and Aaron was very distressed by the complaints, accusing them of rescuing them out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. And they went to tabernacle to seek the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. God told Moses and Aaron, speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Okay? But of course, the events have it that Moses did not follow God's instruction properly. Moses took the rod from the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Very angrily towards all the Israelites. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. God was not happy with Moses. God told Moses, you did not believe in me. Because you did not believe in me to honor me before the eyes of the Israelites, you will not go to the land of Canaan, which was a very sad affair here. Okay, let us see, in what way did Moses not obey God? Okay. On the left, this is what God wanted Moses to do. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth this water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. Okay? On the right, what actually happened? Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. So what's the difference? God says, speak. Moses struck. And on top of that, he said to the people, hear me, you rebels, must we give you water out of this rock? Must we give you water out of this rock? Did God ask Moses to scold the people? No. Because Moses was angry, he drew attention to his own authority. He said, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Commentators say that Moses should not lecture the people. Ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? We? Moses? And Aaron? It's only the Lord. The Lord is the one who provided the water. Moses says, we. Not bringing honor to the Lord. And he did not believe in God to provide the water by speaking to the rock. He struck it. He thinks more force is needed for water to come out. God's word is not good enough. Let me add more force to it by striking the rock. God says, you did not trust me. You did not believe in me to speak to the rock. After all that you know of me, I'm the Lord, your God. You've seen how I perform great miracles with great power. Now you do not believe in me. You will not enter Canaan. So what we should do? Do not be stubborn and rebellious like the Israelites. Yeah, like Korah, Datan, Abiram, and 250 Israelites. Stubborn. They've seen past examples of rebellion and how God came severely upon Miriam, and yet they continue to be stubborn and rebellious. So must we learn from this lesson. Always check ourselves for sins and seek forgiveness and repent. Have we been repeating our past sins? Have we repeated the sins of others that we know are wrong and sinful? Be diligent and honor God in all that we do. Not we. We? Must I teach you this story here? Must I teach you God's word? God says, no. I'm not teaching you. The Holy Spirit is teaching you. I'm like a facilitator. God uses me for my voice. My presentation is what the Holy Spirit provides. The structuring of the lesson. What is to be said? How do you accept it in your heart? It's the doing of the Holy Spirit. I cannot say, you must accept what I say. It won't work. Only if the Holy Spirit opens your heart and you accept what the Holy Spirit teaches. We do all this to the honor of God, not claiming credit for ourselves. Do not draw attention to ourselves when we serve God in positions of authority. Remember, not I, but Christ. Always humble ourselves in our service. Do not speak down to others or assert ourselves above others. God has authority over the flock. Church leaders should be humble servants, serving the flock. Contrary to the example of Moses, at the water of Meribah, we are to follow the commandments of God exactly, without adding to it or taking away from it. Yes? God says, speak, so we speak. We don't strike. Do not add or take away from God's commandments. Even if you have believed in and served God for many years, we may still stumble like Moses. So walk close to God every moment. So you see, the great Moses, even he is not perfect. Human, just as we are human. And God dealt with him. And he is a man whom God said that he will meet face to face, Speak to Moses face to face, not through visions or dreams like other prophets. The closeness between Moses and God is there when he spoke to Miriam, how close he was with Moses. And yet when Moses did not believe in God and struck the rock, God corrected him and punished him. Many of us will feel that, wow, this is very serious. Again, it looks like a small sin, you know. Why is he not allowed to go to the promised land? More is expected if you hold high responsibility. Like Moses, he's holding a very high responsibility here. God appointed him, commissioned him to bring the Israelites out to the back to the promised land. And he failed here. So he, as a high leader, he has to be responsible and take action from God. So do not sort of be envious of people who hold high offices in the church and all that. Very high responsibility is expected of them from God. God sees. God knows what is in their heart. Are they doing it from the right motive? Or have they done it for themselves? So this is the lesson today about Moses striking the rock. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy truth. How people who hold high positions and authority in church have greater responsibility and have greater accountability towards Thee, that they have to obey Thee, not add or subtract from Thy commandments, and to seek Thee, and to serve Thee with humility always. Teach us, Lord, to remember Thy goodness to us, that Thou hast not dealt with us according to our sin, but Thou hast forgiven us. And we pray, Lord, that we will always come before Thee, humbly knowing that we are mortal people. Our sins are before us. We are weak physically and many flaws in our lives. And we pray that Thou will forgive us and that we will repent. So we pray and thank Thee for Thy goodness to us in delighting in us. We come to learn many lessons in church, that we will do what is required of us and Thou will delight in us and bless us. We thank Thee and praise Thee for Thy continued love and care always in our lives, with our family, and with friends around us. We praise Thee and thank Thee in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming.